This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You can see how they are linked to each other because, you know, we can be disgusted towards biological stimulus and at the same time, moral attitudes.
Caroline and Uma with you. This is the all new evening edition. Now, politics and body odor is something we thought wouldn't make sense together, but here we are. Ooh, that smell. The smell that's around you. The smell that's around you. We came across a rather fascinating article in The Guardian about how body odor and hating body odor can lead you to have more right-wing views.
Yeah, it's a study. It's a study.
It's a study.
It's not just an article in The Guardian.
I know.
Okay, so apparently people who have a greater tendency to turn their nose up at the whiff of, you know, something unpleasant like body odor are apparently more likely to have right-wing authoritarian attitudes, according to research. And this is how they say, well, the sausages link, I suppose. So the findings of this research supports the idea that a feeling of disgust might partly underpin social discrimination against others, with a link rooted in a primitive urge to avoid catching diseases from, you know, people who are unfamiliar. So biologically, right, they're saying some people are wired with a heightened instinct for self-preservation, I suppose, which then translates into lower tolerance for anything deemed unpleasant or different. And I guess, you know, which is, you could say it's broadly a phrase that can be used to sort of describe right-wing politics.
I don't know how I feel about authoritarianism being linked to biology. That's kind of a scary prospect.
No, also, having said that, they're saying that, you know, while disgust is a very primitive emotion, it's definitely rooted in our biological survival, it can still be altered, right, environmental factors. And this is the thing. It's not the first time. As the previous studies have linked levels of disgust to political orientation.
Yes.
This one isolates it to smell, right, to scent, saying that the response of individuals towards scent alone is interesting because it reveals that similar association that, you know, some people who have a greater aversion to, say, revolting images identify as conservatives. It's interesting also because many scientists theorize that our ability to smell things might be at the root of virus detection, sort of first line of defense.
It is.
That's
so,
why it's important to look at this.
Correct. So because, you know, things like plague and stuff are often associated with a certain smell. And so it's a defense mechanism as well. A long time ago, Caroline, another life, I used to do a show on the Evening Edition called Eureka, did an episode called The Science of Disgust.
Mm-hmm.
And I spoke to a scientist about a lot of these things and how it is connected to how that reaction when it is actually a method of self-preservation on our part.
Yeah.
This study, however, does make a lot of sense because you have an aversion to strong smells, Caroline.
Okay, so
and
yes.
It also makes sense that you rule with an iron fist. So
no, it doesn't exactly
it's all
link that way.
Starting to come together.
No, it doesn't exactly link that way. Don't you know, you're really oversimplifying. Okay, so I have to say I'm well known for this, right? I carry my own spray can of disinfectant because I can't stand you know, being in a studio.
I used
that's
to think
stuffy.
Nothing of it.
But you know, when I saw this, you know, I had to question myself, how does this make me feel, right? I think it's good and bad at the same time because it brings into sharp focus my low tolerance, which I'm not proud of. But it's good in that...
Smells, not for people.
Yeah, for smells. But it's good in that if this is indeed the case, then I think it helps me understand better my own reaction and temper those fears, right? Because it's like, you know, my panic attacks from something like body odor, for example, can be, you know, counteracted with better informed logic. So then, you know, my fears are then unfounded.
That, you know, Carolyn, that's a tremendous amount of self-reflection that you've put in just from reading this article in The Guardian to now. We can only hope that Donald Trump can practice something similar.
I feel strongly about this story.
I'm just saying. We're going to cross over now to clinical psychologist Dr. Chua Suk Ning. Thank you for joining us again, Suk Ning. Now, can a person's reaction to BO actually tell us their political views?
I think that's maybe it's simplified a little. I think this study and actually a number of other studies have shown that disgust sensitivity is associated with conservatism. So if people of certain individuals maybe are more sensitive to let's say, signs of danger, right? Signs of illness, like these things could contaminate us. And so they're going to head towards or lean towards things that are safe. So right-wing authoritarianism is a, I guess it's a trait, it's an attitude that has been shown to for people who are trying to maintain a system, and it's really favoring the in-group and not favoring at all out-group members like immigrants who might bring in changes to the existing society. So they signal to these individuals that there's danger.
Right. I just think about that. One concern I have with this research is that when it comes to studies that link biology and genes to behavior, we sort of run the risk of getting a biased understanding of the data, which might lead, you know, to stereotyping of certain kinds of people. Do you think this is happening here?
Yeah, I think it could be like simplified, you know. If, I don't think if we just go around like getting people to smell armpits and we're like, that's the test, you know, whether you're going to vote Trump or not,
yeah.
Or even maybe in the Malaysian elections, who you're going to vote for, it's going to be, you can tell that by smelling someone's armpit. So no, that would be the simplest interpretation. And I think a good way to kind of look at it is really going back to a well-known psychologist called Kurt Lewin that says every behavior can be predicted by an interaction between the person and the environment. So some people could be, I think, sensitive to pathogens or just has this discussed sensitivity, but in an environment where they grow up, maybe they've been exposed to more tolerant attitudes or more openness, then they will be able to better handle that innate sensitivity and then not show that same right-wing attitude.
Right, but what if in that example you gave, that person who is more disgust sensitive didn't grow up in a tolerant environment but actually grew up in a setting where it encourages their innate leanings, how easy would it be for that person to change?
Well, for any of us, how easy it is for us to change like a 20-year-old habit, right? So it's difficult, but nothing's impossible. So I think the first step is probably a conscious awareness and a conscious decision, like, I don't want to discriminate against immigrants, or I don't want to discriminate against individuals who might smell different. And then from that, overriding that automatic leanings towards avoidance or anxiety. So it's possible. It's just, you know, like, I think with any bad habit, or let's say not bad habit, but with any habit, let's say smoking or walking a certain way or doing, you know, a certain routine, it just takes a lot of conscious self-control.
Right. So, something. What do you think of how many of us are actually still driven by our caveman era sort of brains?
I think then, you know, don't discriminate against the caveman. Yeah, I can't really fall for this. But yeah, we would like to think that we have evolved, right, past that gut instinct. I think the gut instinct can be embraced, right? Because it tells us a lot of things. So it's not so much about like, I need to move past my gut instinct, and because often intuition is right. So there's a lot of research that shows intuition can is actually a smart decision maker. So rather than overriding it, I really do think maybe one of the ways we can do it is becoming more conscious of it. So what's my gut telling me? And then weighing what my gut is telling me with the evidence and trying to be as objective as possible, or trying to get input from neutral parties, third parties, not just people who are just going to affirm your existing worldview, right? So actually actively seeking views that contradict yours so that you can have more openness and a broader point of view.
Suk Ning, thank you very much for those tips. That was clinical psychologist Chua Suk Ning. Lots of learnings for Caroline Oh this evening. Lots of learnings.
Excuse me.
She's actually spraying me with that can right now as we speak.
I'm learning to be tolerant, don't worry.
Learning to be tolerant, yeah. Yes. We're going to continue with Name That Tune. And yes.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.